Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there. It's Living and Thriving time. It's Thursday. I'm so excited to be here. Well, I'm excited with every day that ends in Y. Why is that, you ask? Because every day is special, and it's wonderful, and it's delicious, and it's beautiful, and no matter how much crap we go through in our regular everyday life, we're alive. We get to breathe, and we get to try to be a better version of ourselves, more so than we were yesterday. Today, I'm really super excited. We've had a little bit of technical difficulties, but I am excited to have June dial in. She is going to be dialing in any second now at 929-477-1165, and we're going to be talking to her about life. Why? Well, because life's interesting, and again, we all go through our storms, but there is a happy ending somewhere. Well, if you choose to, I guess. Let's see. Knock, knock. June, is that you? June?
I can kind of hear you.
Ah, you too. How are you?
Okay. I'm good. So far, so good.
Yay. All right. So the way this show works, casual conversation. You and I are sitting on the couch having a cup of tea or a glass of wine, whatever your life choice is, and we're getting to know each other like two perfect musical strangers in this cosmic rock that's floating in the space and time and continuing to float. So who are you, what do you do, and what makes you you?
Okay, I'm going to just trying to get this so I can actually hear you a little better, breaking up. It must be me. Okay, so yes, getting to know each other.
So, who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, you know, our connection is really not good at all.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me see if I move. Can you hear me any better now?
I do hear you a little bit better, yes.
Okay, so let the audience know who you are, what you do, and what makes you you.
Who I am is June Ahern, and what I like to do, and I've been doing for quite a while, is to life coach, to coach people to achieve something that is important to them. You know, how do they live a life where they feel that they are really connected to what their values are rather than what they were told they should value? And that's what I like to do the best.
And you've written books?
I have. I have 4 books, and I kind of laugh when I look at it because every book that I've written was on the suggestion of somebody else. So I can't say I was so inspired that I had to write this book. I was inspired by other people to whatever it was, fiction or nonfiction.
We co-inspire, co-create with each other anyway on every level.
Yeah, you know, That's what I'd like to even express, the importance of finding those that champion you on. And I can remember the very first time that I felt that. You know, I was in 8th grade, and I went to school with the nuns, the real nuns with the habits and everything. And I remember her championing me on in math, and I never thought I was any good. And that was the first time I really felt someone was behind me and how important that meant to me.
I find that it's really interesting that people are not able to champion each other as much as when we were growing up. I think people of each other. How do you combat that in your work, opening up that level of allowing people to feel more connected with each other so that they can co-create, so to speak?
Well, you know, it's something that we've heard ourselves, and for me, I told my son and my grandchildren, It's not the number of people in your life. It's the people that really love you or care for you or have an interest in you. And then I learned, if you were to think of the golden winning circle, you know, who gets you? Oftentimes people say, well, the people, you know, my mother, my father, my sister, my husband, my wife, we go through. But do they really champion you on to what it is that you want to fulfill in life? And sometimes we have to go out of our loving circle and find people that challenge us and educate us. And how we find it is a willingness to learn, a willingness to bring those kinds of people towards us.
Well, and I think it's also a willingness to be open-minded to go, hey, you know, this isn't working for me. I kind of need to break myself open, ooze out a little bit, and find out what does work for me, too. And it's a lot of in-depth exploration to attract those individuals that have something that can inspire you and motivate you to move forward in the next leg of your journey, right?
Right. Well, I think it's, you know, what is it that you want to be inspired about? Is it something professionally? Now, if we took something professionally, say we wanted a different either position in our career or we wanted something new. So what I have clients do, and I've done this for myself, you know, I don't just show people like, oh, I have to try it out, is draw a circle. And I always say use a pencil to fill in the circle because you might be erasing it. And what do you want to achieve? Write that outside the circle. Like, as I said, I want to be able to find another job, another career. And then you begin to look around and say, who comes up with ideas for you? Who seems to be that you look at and you respect or you admire that went for what they wanted career-wise? Could that person be inside your circle? So it doesn't have to be, somebody, again, that's your family. You know, we always pick our family. Who's going to teach you? Who's going to be there for you?
Well, and I think sometimes we tend to lean too hard on the familiar, and some, for the most part, experience has taught me that the familiar tends to be our biggest critics and our biggest roadblocks. And so I think it's intriguing to have a conversation in regards to stepping outside of what's familiar and challenging yourself as an individual to move forward in kind of an unfamiliar territory and recruiting new people in your circle.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. That's what I'm speaking of. You know, that who are you really learning from? Who's showing you something different? It could be a different way of achieving something. You know, like maybe you never thought of joining some kind of a group. And how would you do that? Who would champion? Would someone go with you? Was there somebody else that is interested in learning also? So I don't all. What I really find out from working with people is most of the people that are familiar don't necessarily be the people that you can have in your circle to help you attain what you want.
Exactly right.
They're in their own life or they have a preconceived idea of who you are. You know, that's something that always annoys me. When people say, well, you know how you are.
Yeah.
You know you're not going to get that finished. You keep changing your mind about everything. We'll find someone that doesn't even know you.
Right. And sometimes I think strangers are the best medicine. That's why I love this radio show, because I get to meet people from all over the world and have really intriguing conversations. And when I leave this show and I hang up the phone, I'm always inspired and motivated to try something new, to do something different, to crack my inside open a little bit wider, to become more vulnerable, to become more compassionate. And it takes a lot of, for me, it doesn't take much because I enjoy it, but I think for a lot of people, they're very hesitant to reach out and go and have conversations with strangers or to do something new. Do you have like maybe four or five things to guide someone who wants to step out?
Well, I can speak in a way where, as a coach, when I always call it you know, you get to the why I can't do this, why I can't do that. You know, that's nice for people that go out and talk to other people. I don't feel that way. I say, okay, we're at the why. So how do you work with the why? If you can't do it, then what other kind of possibilities can there be? If you don't want to go out, maybe you could listen to podcasts and be inspired at a distance like that. With the internet, we have many different options compared to, you know, when you just went to a meeting. This way you can go to meetings on Zoom. You can go to a meeting by listening to a podcast. Or find that one person. It doesn't have to be a lot of people that inspire you. You could be inspired by, I ask people, who inspires you in history? You know, either in the present time or in the past. How did they inspire you? So I begin to ask clients questions. Because, you know, when you work with people, it's not just one deal of a set group of people. They're all different kinds of people. And you have to modify how you're going to work with this person to move forward. So I ask them things like, what are you willing to do? And I make what I call the wheel of possibilities. What are the possibilities of what you can do? You know, and I love the wheel of possibilities. I find that it's it inspires me to realize what I might be cutting myself off from. So I teach that one, and I love it. So you draw a wheel, and you make it into 8 pies, and again, use a pencil, and then you write in, what are you willing to do? What interests you? And then you go through it, and you put, well, that interest is maybe 8%. This one's 5%. We'll pick the highest number and then begin to work on that.
So delve into that a little bit more. Highest number, what does that mean?
Well, when you go around the wheel, say you are a person that is more inward. You know, you're not going to want to go to meetings. And meet a whole lot of people. You know, they have the breakfast meetings. They have all these different meetings if you're going to move. I'm talking about professionally and even personally. Maybe you'd like to meet people, but you're not the kind of person that goes out to socialize. And you have your wheel, and you say, well, what are you willing to do to connect to others? Well, I'm willing to, as I said, let's put on, listen to podcasts that give me ideas. And the second piece of the slice of the pie is, I'm willing to tell someone that I know, maybe a friend, that I have an idea and what are her or his thoughts. So you go through and you fill in the slices of the pie. It doesn't have to be 8. Maybe you could only think of 4 things, 3 things. And then you say, you know, is this 10? Do I really feel that this is what I want to do? Or I said it, but you know what? Now that I think about it, 2. So you rate your interest. And then the highest number that you rated for each slice of your pie, you take that and you begin to set a date. When are you going to do this by? You know, how are you going to stay inspired? Because I'm actually going to follow through with it. I'm going to learn. Did this work for me? Did I listen to 3 podcast inspirational shows in 1 week? And did one speak to me? And so you have to begin to look at, what is inspiring you? We're not all inspired the exact same way. And that's what you begin to work on.
Well,
again, finding a trusted other.
Yeah, and I think that it's fun to explore. You know, my generation is the last generation to go out in the 30s and build forts and things like that. Kids don't do that anymore. We didn't have phones and that kind of distraction. And I think it's really fun now that we're able to have conversations with people in foreign countries with Zoom and various applications like that and reach out. I mean, there's so much information that we can reach out and find. And, yeah, everybody has different interests. It's really delving into what you want to do or how you want to grow or what you want to expand in yourself, right?
Yeah, it's all about learning, opportunities, possibilities. I think people get disheartened when they want to have a particular, fulfill something in their life. They feel disheartened because they really don't know how to go around it, getting it. You know, and you can have an absolute, maybe one of your sisters or brothers, it could be someone that loves you, and they can go into your golden wheel. You know, you want someone that you look out and say, this person knows, say I want to go into banking. But I don't know anything really about finances. Who, look around you. Who do you look at and respect that has some information they can give you? And I agree with you about reaching out all over the world. Now, you know, I have friends, right, everywhere in the world. And we keep up. You know, we chat or we Zoom or we PM. And I'm inspired by them. There are other authors. I don't really know them, but I know them from how we stay in touch. And they give me ideas, marketing ideas, editing ideas. So I, as much as we're bombarded with information, it can be really helpful to be inspired. I also like inspirational words.
I do too. This is a great place where we're going to stop for a minute, and you're going to give us ways to contact you. How do we find out more about you and find your books? Maybe, you know, that in itself is going to inspire somebody.
Well, there you go. That's a great idea. So would you like me to give that now?
Yes, please.
Okay, so you can reach me through my website, and I have two of them because Being the person I am interested in so much, my author website is my name, June, like the month, June Ahern, AHERN.com. And my coaching website is SF, like San Francisco, SF Coaching, COACHING.com. And as I said, I really do love coaching people. I look at it more like maybe I'm their mentor for that period of time, for their own understanding and waking up their own mind to what's ahead of them and how to inspire them to believe in that. So those are two of it. You know, I'm all in all the rest, Facebook and blogging and all that, but it's in my website, so that would be the easiest way.
Why coaching? Why did you decide to be a coach? What inspired you to reach out and take on such a sometimes Goliath monumental task?
Yeah, you know, well, what I had done for many years is I had done psychic spiritual readings for many years, something I never advertised for, something I was interested in, and just kept growing and growing. And what happened is I only encourage people to come for readings once a year or once every 2 years. You know, you got all the information you need, why you keep coming back? Don't do that. But I realized
right.
I really liked working with people to accomplish something. And within 1 week, I had three different people ask me, do I know about, and at that time it was called professional and personal coaching. And then they changed it to life coaching after a while. And I said, no. And, oh, no, one was an article and two other people. And I knew, to me, that was a sign. If I heard it in 1 week from three different sources, I should look what it is. So I did. I found out what, you know, this is back before the internet. And what is it? I looked it up, and I went to the coaching school here in the Marin County of California. And I just fell in love with it. I thought, wow, it really is a formula. It's a formula of how to live fully with your own self, with your talents and abilities, how to recognize yourself. And that's how I was inspired. I love it. I use it for myself, and my life changed.
I love coaching. I love teaching, and I love watching young and old get excited about something. I like it when you have a room full of brains that are just popping up like popcorn pops. You know, it's like boom, 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 and they spark each other and they excite each other, and then they walk out and they're smiling and their chest is up and chins are up, and you know, you really feel as though you're kind of a magician in some ways, tingling them without giving away the rules. You know what I mean? And it's just so exciting.
It is exciting. I mean, I'm smiling from ear to ear just listening to you. It's so exhilarating, actually, to be with that person. And not only through the champion times, you know, but through the process of breaking down misconceptions, untruths, things about themselves. You see them. I love affirmations. And I always give my clients affirmations to write. I make a request, please write this affirmation. And to see the transformation. And then they go out and do that with others. That's what I always tell. Toward the end, I don't like to keep people forever. I'm like, you know, whatever, move on. They're to go out and do what we did to accomplish. That's why I call coaching a formula. It's alchemy. It really is. It's the alchemy of how to live.
And I think, you know, we spend so much of our time destroying that creative process, that juicy, gooey stuff that, you know, we really do. We destroy it. We become mechanical and we do things by rote, and we have these very bizarre expectations that if I buy a Mercedes, it's going to be the love of my life and my life is going to be perfect because I can drive around in this vehicle that, you know, I'm probably going to crash or it's going to die or get a scratch or something. When you're dealing
don't
with
park
the inner joy.
Anybody else, they're going to scratch it.
right. But when we get to our second phase of life, I think we start up and realizing, at least for the most part, that our focus is on different things, you know, and the things that we've thought we needed to focus on really are bullshit, to be very blunt.
Yeah.
And that's where coaches
I don't know, there's seven words you can't say on the radio, but podcasts are a little different.
Podcast is very different.
But you get to more truth. You know, you get to more truth. The opportunity to hear people that can really speak of what's going on without being hindered. And I think in life what you said is that we're often so hindered by other people's rules.
We get caught up in that, other people's exploits, other people's stuff. And it's really interesting to watch people unravel all of that stuff that we've coated ourselves with over the years.
Well, we go outside of what we know. As children know more of what they want and until you can foster independence and unique thinking, or you can tell them, stop squirming, sit down, nice girls don't do that. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God, I better be a nice girl. I better not speak out loud. You know, and so we're hindered. And I just watch my grandchildren and how I encourage them, not always to their parents' delight, but just to, who are you? How do you think you should do it? And is that going to work? You know, it's good to be creative and be a free thinker, and what do you want from it? Do you want financial security? Do you want, you know, what do you want from living this way? And how do you bring the two together? It's fascinating. And it can be done. I've seen it over and over and over. I mean, I just look at people that have decided to be themselves and how to find a way to do that, navigate on planet Earth.
Well, the largest part of trying to figure out what it is that you truly want is letting go of the layers of stuff that you've built up around who you really are. And that's a process within itself, don't you think? That whole shedding?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I always tell people coaching is not therapy. I mean, there are people that they would be better in therapy. It does the same, you know. But when you make a goal and you find a way to move forward, you will find what needs to heal in you in order you move forward. In other words, I look at it as returning to your, as they say in a Buddhist koan, your true face. What is your true face? What do you really look like? And that's what I see happening.
I love the fact that you started out as a reader, and now you're taking the spiritual aspect a little higher into the more, you know, I'm at the sidelines cheering you on. I can't do it for you, but I can give you the tools when you need them. And how was that transition? Because it feels like it's very much a similar role, except one's extended.
So I'll give you an example. I have a client that I've worked with her for quite a long time, with her explosive temper when she comes into places that are unfamiliar with her. And over the course of the time, we have found ways, like how do you stand outside and watch yourself? How do you be the viewer, the observer? And there was an area where she had lost faith in herself because people had judged her so much. She's very vivacious, very beautiful, and she was very judged harshly as a young person. And then she came to this place of loss, and it was just the other day. She realized why she got so angry is because when she wanted to be herself, those people that she thought were her good girlfriends, they turned around and they gossiped about her and they ruined her high school reputation. And as I said, she's a vivacious, beautiful. She had been in the Rams cheerleading. She was accomplished, but she always felt angry. And finally, she's moved through her to understanding it's because she fears that people are going to judge her harshly again. Now, she's a mature woman. You know, she's made a very good career, been very successful. And it happened because she was willing to keep going through the levels of exposing more about herself. But she didn't want a web page because, oh, my God, everybody was going to get on it and make a comment or whatever, you know, Facebook or whatever it is. And we began to work through different ways of her approaching being herself. But it couldn't happen when we first started coaching because that would have been too scary for her. Like, oh, go ahead, make that webpage. You know? And now she's ready to because she began to observe her own reaction to what happened to her in high school. She really looked at it without being involved with it but watching it.
Okay. So healing is huge. You have to be able to detach from that area so that you can heal it, because you can't get real with it if you keep holding on to it like you own it, right?
Right, but you have to do it when you're we're not all ready to heal at one time. We heal in little tiny steps. We heal little by little, but we want to be willing to heal. I am willing to release this. That's how I found out anyway. You know, I've been healing for years. I always said I've been healing for years. I hope to God before I leave here, or Goddess, or Buddha, or Allah, whatever, I hope to say, aha, and then, boop, off I go. You know, we heal little by little, and I believe through experience we have an opportunity to heal, not only talk.
Well, and it's, you know, it's a constant process. I think you're right. We do heal little by little throughout our lives. And the one part that we heal yesterday opens up the strength to heal this part today. And
absolutely.
Opening up your mind to realize that.
I believe, as they call it, unfolding. We keep unfolding, you know, the lotus blossom just keeps unfolding until you come to a really truth. You know, why am I here? You know, what is my purpose? How do I contribute to the earth? And the more that we heal ourselves and become truly who we, if we value ourselves and we understand our abilities and we understand what we're here to do, then we truly touch another person and then our community. That's how it happens. I know it's the truth because I've seen it. So we got to heal ourselves.
As each person heals, it's really beautiful to watch because you can heal a whole community of people who somehow find each other to continue healing others. And it's just absolutely gorgeous to watch.
It's a more harmonious way to live. I can't really say better. I think it's, do you feel a sense of peacefulness in your life not all the time. We are human. We're living on Earth. But do you feel mostly a sense of trust? When people tell me they don't trust, oh, you can't trust, well, often women will say you can't trust men. Men say you can't trust women. And people go through you can't trust. What I learned is those that don't trust themselves to make wise decisions. Now, I made some very unwise decisions quite a bit in my life till I realized I'm not listening to my intuition. You know, I'm not listening to myself. As you brought up before, you know, living under other people's rules and regulations and what they see of you. And you learn to listen to yourself. As you listen to yourself, you are healing all the time.
It's listen to yourself when you have a difficult time trusting, because then you're second guessing what you're listening to. How do you combat that?
Well, again, choose wisely someone that you can share some of your thoughts with, whether that be a partner, a best friend, a coach, a person in ministry perhaps that you have learned that they're a fair person and they see clearly. Then that's when you could do. You also pay attention that when you hear people that are so-called successful people say, I failed over and over. You take what didn't work and you say, well, let me grow from that. But I really am big on having someone that you trust in your life that you can kind of pass something by. And I do it all the time. I'm like, well, what do you think of this idea? And sometimes I get them looking at me like, what are you, crazy? And I say, well, I'm not really crazy, but, you know, it's an idea. And then you open that dialogue. If it cannot be a person that is comfortable meeting other people, again, it can be an online conversation with another or a group that you have learned to trust. If you do this, will it really create, will it upset your life and upset the life of others around you that cannot be repaired, hopefully cannot be repaired? Maybe then it's not a good idea.
So let's spend a few minutes talking about my absolute favorite topic, failure. Love talking about failure. The girls like talking about failure too, huh, ladies?
Well, without failure, we don't learn, right?
That's right. Talk to us a little bit about failure and what that means to you and how you combat that internal dialogue that we all have, because we're all juicy, beautifully flawed human beings who contradict ourselves all the time. But
all
talk to us about failure.
Well, failure. Oh, my God. You know, again, do I want to make a list of failures? And sometimes when you move on in life, you begin to go, oh, man, I should have done this different at that age, or I should have done that. My particular way of thinking is I do believe things like karma and reincarnation. So I use some of that. But we'll put that aside because that may not be of interest to some people. And so failure is such a, as I would call it, a bummer. When you work so hard to get something and you really believed in it and it didn't work out, I like to spend some time, what I call my time to cry and rant, like how dare this, what are those people don't see that. So I think that it's okay to have a time of misery, but you got to pull up your bootstraps. You got to say, well, you know, I have to move on. And there will be people that just doesn't happen. They make their life what they could perceive, and I've seen this in coaching more and more, or any time in my readings, is that they want to be in a place of safety and security. So for me, failure is have a time to be disappointed, have a time to be down, but know when your time is up. Don't make it your life. And if it is your life, you probably do need to go into therapy of some kind, counseling, because there's no way to live. It's an unhappy life. You know, and don't just jump on whatever antidepressants they have for you. You know, really
that
look at your life.
That's a huge thing. People are so pharmaceutical happy, and it doesn't benefit you at all.
You know, You go to your doctor and you go, I've been feeling down. They go, well, let me write you this prescription. I mean, my doctor knows that I'm always going to challenge her no matter what happens. You have to be willing. That's the difference with people like yourself who have moved on, continue to move on and find another way. I mean, you might be still working on the same thing, but you'd be smart not to do it the same way if you failed at it a few times. It'd be like, maybe this isn't working, Rusty.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, when I get clients, they have this idea and they only have plan A, I go, well, let me buy you a box of Kleenex. You know, you have to have plan A, plan B, plan C, and sometimes D. Don't put yourself in a box, is what I say when you're growing something.
My favorite.
So failure
one of the first,
is hard.
Huh? One of the first things I wrote about was boxes. And I explored what a box really meant to me personally. You know, when I was a kid, we had nothing. We were literally the definition of dirt poor. And when we had boxes, it was kind of cool because they could be spaceships, dollhouses, clubhouses, you know, race cars. I still like to race my cars, so I can only have a four-cylinder because I'll go to jail. these boxes were this place of creativity. You could make it into a submarine. You could be a pilot. All these really cool, fun things that you cut out and color and paint and play with, right? And then somewhere somehow we get stuck in that box and we stop playing.
We get
and to me that's the demise of human beings right there is when you get stuck in that box and you stop playing.
Yeah, the beauty of watching children and their imagination. I really like it. Watching children is what we want to return to. In our enthusiasm and imagination. And then we use practicality. So it's a combination of two. And when you fail, you want to go back and say, was I too imaginative? Did I believe that this little car, I could take it out on the freeway, this little box, and not get hit and killed? You know, did I want that little car? And then what's the practical aspect of it? You know, what is my income? How much am I willing to spend? How fast do I want to go? And there has to be practicality with creativity. It just has to. That's how it works. They call that practical magic. It's a combination. But failure, oh man, I still didn't achieve some things I wanted, and then I realized what it was. I wanted something that I was winning at. What I give my clients then is small wins, because that's what carries you forward. You know, if you stop at something you failed at, have something that you can win at.
Don't you think that we win every game? I think that I am a winner every
game. Another chance to wake up and be ornery. I have another chance to be a better version of myself. I get another chance to try again. So I honestly think that we're winners every day that we get another chance.
Yeah. We wake up. That's why, you know those little inspirational calendars, like you pull them off each day?
Yeah.
I have something. I read Pima Chodron, the Buddhist, Nan. I every day I read something to keep myself in a – at least a little more positive, because let's face it, life is hard at times. You know, great losses, someone we love, or we got fired from a job or a big project. How do we keep ourselves inspired? You know, that's the part we want to look at. And sometimes we can't. Sometimes we need the person that is going to be there for us, whoever that person is. I know I get people tell me, I don't have anybody. But usually I've seen from their behavior, they have actually had a belief that they've turned it into a whole lifestyle action. They don't want to talk to people. I have people say, I can't. People tell me things and they say, I would never repeat this to anyone else. And I ask, why not? Why not share it? Yeah, it's there's not one little recipe for all people. That's actually what makes life you know, pretty interesting. There's people like you and I who do say, okay, onward. Onward, that didn't work, onward. But that's not true of all people. And we can't fix all people. There's people that just are. Go ahead.
Yeah. They have to fix themselves. It's not all they can do is be a person on the sideline throwing bottles of water at you and handkerchiefs going, all right, keep going, you got this, and cheer you on. That's it. I can't make you change or change your behaviors or anything. All I can do is give you the tools that you need to keep running the race, because life is like
Correct.
Ocean. It's no different.
Yeah,
we have days where it's calm and beautiful, and in a second it can turn and spin out of control and dump your boat. That's just the beautiful
That's a good
nature.
Huh? That's a good way of putting it. It's all of a sudden you dumped out, you know, the boat dumps you out.
Yeah, you're like, what the heck just happened? Why is everything spiraling out of control and time's going faster and I can't keep up with this and it's just getting harder and harder and harder. But that's the way it is.
Acceptance is hard. Acceptance is hard. We cannot change what we are not willing to accept. You know, maybe we're just not looking at life is difficult. Well, we have to accept, okay, life is difficult. How do I make it a little bit easier on myself? You know, maybe I can't be happy. You know, what was it? Happiness is an illusion. You just live it. You can have moments of happiness and moments of joy. And like Cahill Gibran, the poet, writes, when joy is sitting at your bedside, sorrow is in the bed. And when sorrow is sitting at your bedside, joy is in the bed. There's an acceptance of life without feeling despondent about it. You know, and when people say, oh, don't be so negative.
Say that one more time.
Okay.
Despondent. I love how you were referring to despondent.
It just is. So you have to be willing to say life can be difficult. I don't use things like Murphy's Law anymore. I'm very careful of what I. Mostly very careful, unless somebody cut me off in the freeway, then I'm not so nice after all. But, you know, and that's only because I'm human. Yeah. So you have to accept that you are human. Things will happen. You'll screw up no matter how much you try. And there's some people you can't save. I've had people I've loved very much that they've committed suicide, or they've got so heavy into drugs they end up dying on the street or whatever. I love them. I try to save them, and I couldn't. And I had to accept that. I can only do so much. Yeah. And that's one of the things of our personalities. There's certain things that we will achieve, and there's certain things that they're just not there for us at this time of life or ever.
You think that sometimes we are so focused and driven on one version of ourselves that we bypass the real version of ourselves?
Oh, absolutely. Without doubt. Completely agree. I just watched this great program on PBS. It was influential women in music, more on the feminist, bringing it out to the forefront. Hey, like Loretta Lynn, don't be coming home a stinking and want to make love. You've been out drinking. You know, she started this whole thing like, hey, I want to have the pill. And the radio stations, they wouldn't play her song, you know, because we were men also. Men and women have been pigeonholed, you know, like men don't cry and they don't eat quiche. We found out that that's not true. And women have believed to be focused only on ourselves, only on others. I was just thinking of the ones that focus on themselves, what people say about them. They're self-interest and they're selfish. That would be self-interest.
Things.
Self-interest is I need to take care of myself also. And the selfish person says, I don't care what you need. I'm going to get what I need. There's a difference. But women,
I think that there's a hard.
And I'm still having difficulty with you breaking up. But once in a while,
sorry,
it happens.
Every time my air conditioner goes on, it happens. I'm noticing.
Oh, yeah, when something else electrical turns on. Yeah,
yep.
That's true.
Because that's every time I break up, the air conditioner pops on, and I'm like, okay, maybe that's the reason. Anyway, I was just the self-defined or the definition of masculinity and femininity, I think, has been skewed to fit an agenda versus what reality really is about roles, if that makes sense. I think we're too focused on defining roles.
Right. And you know, there was the time historically that usually men were supposed to be the breadwinners, you know, went out and worked and brought home the meat, and the woman, W-O-A-N, she cooked, she cleaned, she took care of the kids, and she made sure the husband was happy at home. And that's historically how it's been. You know, many of the young women that speak now, when they go, well, why should I march for my rights for this or my rights for that? I go, well, we've only really been voting 100 years. Think about that. and so I like to look at it this way. Yang, or yang, they call it, energy, is like a fire movement action energy. The yin is the more what's considered female. It's the inward, the nurturer, the caregiver, the creator. And some women are very yang. They're out there. They're movers. And some men are very yin. So I look at it as energy. And, I've been accused of being this or that and everything because I'm pretty outspoken, you know. I've done blue-collar work. I've worked with people and felt completely at home wearing my tool belt. And then there's times where I'm very yin and I need to be creative and I need to be nurturing. So if we could change our thoughts toward more like energy. What's your energy right now? And it changes. Are you in the action place, Rusty, or are you in the inner world of creativity at this time in your life?
I'm just a ball of fire. I'm a hot little ball of fire. I think today I'm
I get that.
I don't know if you noticed.
Yes,
a little ball of fire. Today I'm in that creativity, nurturing, self-care, loving myself kind of space. But that's what Thursdays are for me. That's my time out from the world and my self-care.
So you're in your
day.
Female energy. You're in
big
a female
time.
Energy. And
yesterday
I
could have lit up the whole world.
Balance. Yeah, and so it's a role playing, what is told to us. We are told that women act this way. I was what you considered a tomboy. They used to call it tomboys. I don't know. Do they still do that?
I was a tomboy as well. So, yes, I feel you. I don't know if they do that in this generation.
Instead of playing with dolls, I would rather have set them up where I could take out my six-shooter and shoot them off the tree or something. You know.
Oh, yeah,
I'll climb the tree. My Barbies turned into Frankensteins or something because I cut their hair and stuff like that. And I was told,
yep.
Oh my God, I had a sister that was like older than me, petite, model-like, you know, and I here was this little grumpy little fat little kid. And so the roles, I never fit into the female role, but I enjoyed myself as a woman. I don't have any doubt about that, the way I was. You know, for me, I was attracted to men. And so I never doubted myself. So other people told me there must be something wrong with you. Maybe you're gay. And I went, well, why would they say that?
Yeah.
They said that because I was outspoken. I went for things. If someone wanted to put me down, I would challenge them. And so that was fitting into that box just didn't work. Well, that's why you and I are different, doing things that are different. So. My mother always said, learn to type, take shorthand, it'll get you a job. Well, I did learn to type. I'm still a lousy typist years later.
Well, and again, there was this box that we were forced in, and if we were too wild and we were too outspoken and we were too grandiose in thought, depending on the time period,
God,
we'd probably
be too grand.
Right. We would be burnt up.
Don't go above your station.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I think I was burnt at the stake many lives.
You probably woke up in your family and said, what the heck am I doing here? Who are these aliens?
That's true.
You know, and
we are,
that's living yourself. And there's a price to pay to live yourself. That's what I found
mm-hmm.
out. Especially when I awoke and I realized I had very strong psychic energies. And I tell people, you think it was a lot of fun? I came from a religious family. I was called a Satanist. I was called a liar, a con, a cheat. I had people ridiculing me in front of me. Or if I were on a radio years ago in the 70s, 80s on a radio, they'd call in and say, you know, this person should be to be yourself, man, you better believe in yourself. That's what I think. And you have to have other people that also believe in you, even if it's one or two, like that nun in the eighth grade. She believed in a part of me that, you know, I was what one would call nowadays an abused child. And back then it was, you know, well, you got to, don't spare that rod. And so you have to know there's something better for you than what you've been told is your lot in life. As my father
said,
go ahead.
We're at the end of the show, and I want to make sure that everybody has the ability to reach out to you if they want to continue this conversation with you directly. So definitely tell us how we can find you.
The best ways is through my website. June Ahern, AHERN.com, or SF, like San Francisco, coaching, COACHING.com. And if you want to email me, you can email me. God, I hate to put it out there, but here it goes. It's on my website anyway. SF, like SF coaching, at yahoo.com. So
and you have
you can do that.
You have 3 minutes to give us. 3 minutes to give us your final words. What is the advice that you really want to get out there in the virtual world for people to hear?
I always say be bold, be brave. Find someone or others that get you. They get you enough to where you want to be able to express yourself, your values, your abilities. Express those, whether it is for material gain, whether it is for that great spiritual soul connection, the love of what you do. Perhaps you're an artist and you don't want to be make a living at it, but you want to share it. Find the way that you can express yourself and feel that there is some appreciation for who you are. You're not alone in the world. Trust me, I've met a lot of what other people would think are strange people. And I don't see the strangers in them at all. I see that they are a unique being. And that really is my goal in life. It has been my goal and continues, is champion people to feel accepted and know that they have something worthwhile for others to hear. Now, whether others get them or champion them, that's another thing. But don't be afraid. Be brave. Be bold. And that's my message.
I am so grateful that we ran across each other. I just really enjoyed our time together today, and thank you very much for sharing your message. And it's true, we do have to be brave, and we do have to be bold, and sometimes we have to be brave against our own selves because our thinking usually gets in the way.
That's right. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Rusty. It's been a real pleasure, and when I saw, you know, that you were inviting guests and I went to your website and I read all your information, I thought, it's a pretty cool chick.
Thank you. Had to be.
Yeah. All right, Rusty,
virtual
thank
hug
you.
To you. Much
okay.
love.
Bye.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and guess what? This is the reason why I do this show every week with love and passion and excitement and motivation and inspiration, because beautiful people like Miss June, who have fought the big fight, the good fight, the internal fight, the external fight, and come out on the top, and look at how wonderful she is. You just want to eat her up. She's so cute.
Did you hear how cute she was? So sweet. This is why I do what I do. So today I'm asking of you to take care of yourself, be kind to yourself, blare the music and rock out in the shower because that's always fun to do. Nobody's watching you. Everybody's on their damn phone. Get off your phone. Do something. Buy somebody a cup of coffee. Be a secret admirer. Love somebody. Love your dog. Dogs love to be pet. Even if it's not your dog, borrow your friend's dog. Go out and do something that excites you because you're worth it. Until next time, know that I love you. Know that you're beautiful.
You're listening to Living and Thriving. Living and Thriving. Living and Thriving with Rusty.